Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya ala salat. Hayya ala salat. Hayya ala salat. Hayya ala salat.
Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل علينا كتاب مبين. Alhamdulillah, الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. وبعث نبيين مباشرين ومنذرين. وأنزل معهم الكتاب بالحق ليشهد الناس إلى سبيل الهدى ويخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت بيده الخير وهو على كل شيء قدير ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ويا أيها المسلمون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته الحمد لله وجمع مبارك أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قلوا يعملوا على شاكلة فربكم أعلم بمن هو أهد السبيل صدق الله العظيم This is the 84th ayah of the 17th surah, Surah Al-Isra of the Quran and an expression of it is say Everyone acts according to his own socialization but your Lord knows best who it is that is guided on the way. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Alhamdulillah, this is a continuation of the overall subject, our families, our future, and the five essentials for building Ummah. It can't be overstated that the main objective of every Muslim, as human beings, but actually every Muslim, the main objective is to build Ummah. It is to build Ummah. It's very important not to have a simple rhetorical, superficial understanding. When you hear that word Ummah, don't treat it like as though it has no substance. It becomes a cliche. A cliche is something that, you know, things that we say, but it really has no substance, right? You don't want to fall into that category, that mindset, because it changes your behavior. See, words mean what they make you do, literally. You know, we have dictionaries. If you look at the current Thorndike's dictionary, for example, or the American Heritage Dictionary, look at the one that was printed in whenever, 2022. Then go back and look at the one that was printed in 2000, right? And look at some of the same words, and you'll find that definitions have been changed, words have been added, words have been taken out, et cetera, because it is always, there's a dynamic involved going on with that. So what do words really mean? I'm fond of pointing out, and I'll do it again, the idea of emulate, the word emulate. The word emulate used to mean to oppose. When the word was used in the beginning, it meant to oppose. But that's not what it means nowadays. What it means nowadays is to imitate, okay, effectively, to imitate. So similarly, for us as Muslims, and alhamdulillah, one of the critical things, brothers and sisters, if you're not already doing it, I hope and I believe that most of you are, but I really, really am inviting you to be very conscious about facilitating. Help your brother with the chair, get him situated properly. So in terms of words meaning what they make you do, then the idea is when you hear ummah, what is it quote unquote call you to do? What's the behavior that ummah calls you to? I'm saying to you that you should take that word ummah, that term ummah, and the behavior that it invites you to is to construct your own culture. And when I say culture, English word, it means construct the womb for your own values. Construct the womb for your own values. Why is that important? It is because everyone acts according to the way that they are socialized. Culture is what socializes you, right? And ummah is the womb. You can hear feminine in the term itself, ummah. Ummah is the womb of culture that socializes the quote-unquote citizens in that quote group to be what the culture, ummah, environment invites them to. So listen to what Allah says. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ He said, let there arise out of you an ummah calling to all that is good, enjoining what is right, forbidding what is wrong. A lot of details in there, because it is inside of that statement that we have to ask and answer the question, okay, well, what is right and what is wrong? What is good and what is not? تَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ All this is vocabulary, which when you understand the vocabulary and then you put it in that total package of ummah, because that's Allah describing what ummah is. It is an order that calls to all that is good, enjoys what is right, forbids what is wrong, but it invites you, by the absence of detail, it invites you to know what that is. And as you study the Quran and the life model of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know how to fill in those definitions. You know how to fill in those definitions. So, the idea of ummah, most times when we think ummah, we just think about a collection of bodies. That's not what ummah is, because bodies come and go. But ummah stays. Bodies come and go, but ummah stays. Once ummah gets constructed, it has a life of its own. And everybody born into it, then the culture shapes and molds and socializes everyone according to the nature of the culture / ummah. All right? So as long as a group of people calling themselves Muslims don't have their own ummah, they are being socialized by the culture, i.e. / geography, whatever, the world that they are in. Quote-unquote Muslims in America that don't have an ummah of their own, they are being socialized by this world's culture. Okay? All right, so in terms of al-Islam is identified, mashallah, that there are five daruri, there are five mandatory pillars. Mandatory, I'm not talking about the five pillars of al-Islam. I'm talking about the mandatory pillars for the building of ummah. All right? Family, intellect, religion, the self, and property. I'm just giving you quick things so we can move on. Those five things. We are right now speaking of family, and we have, you know, gone as far as 15, 16 parts, I don't know. And we are at this point seeking to understand the issue of children. I won't go back over the details of what got us here. We have the Azhar of Ali saying to us, play with them for 7 years, be their friend, teach them the adab for 7 years, be their friend for 7 years, and then let loose the reins. We have the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, teach them to pray when they're 7, and punish them if they don't pray at 10, and separate them in their beds at that time. These are the details that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gives us the example. We ask, Allah tells us what to do, then we have to ask the Prophet, okay, how do you do it? Then the Prophet provides the model and the information for how to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. And so these also are details. These also require details. They are the abstracts that say, look, this is the truth, but there are details. Okay, well, this is what you and I as followers and those who are living in a particular place and time, we have to do, just as an example, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَةِ. When the Quran tells us فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَةِ, strive after the خَيْرَةِ, right? So what is the khayrat? The khayrat is whatever is best under the circumstances. Whatever is best under the circumstances. This is Islamic ethics. See, because something that may be good in one situation at one time among a certain people may not be good among a different people at a different time in a different place. Even though they're doing effectively the same thing, and for one, it was good, and for the other, it's not good. There's a report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I have to give this context. A man came. He came for the prayer in a location, and there was no place for him to tie his camel. No place for him to tie his camel up. And so he had put a stake there. He put a stake there, and it enabled him and whoever else would come after him to tie their camel. Then they don't have to worry about losing the camel while they are in making salat or doing what have you. Then another man came, and he told the Prophet what he did, because it's a good deed, right? He told the Prophet what he did, and the Prophet said, khayr, it's good, excellent, right? Then a man came at night, and he almost tripped over the stake and fell into the well. So he took the stake up. Then he told the Prophet, there was this stake that was in the way, and I almost tripped over when I came to the prayer that night, and so I took it up so nobody else would have to suffer that particular difficulty. And the Prophet said, khayr, it's good. So here's one that does one thing under one set of circumstances, and the Prophet says it's good. But then when the circumstances change, they removed that thing that was good under one circumstance, and now it's a bad thing under a different set of circumstances. So to remove it is a good thing. So listen, this is what fastabiqul khayrat. This is what Allah is telling us in the Quran. This is an order. This is a maxim, an axiom, a postulate. Well, however firmly you want to state it, because when you understand that these are the rules, and I'll even call them the super rules of Al-Islam, when you remember that, when you find yourself in a situation, you should ask yourself, what is khayr in this situation? Is it always, oh, I ain't going to let you do that to me, man. What, you trying to punk me, man? Wait a minute. Ask yourself, what is khayr? What is best under the circumstances, right? And all this calls for a better understanding. We're going to move on. We want to move on. The main thing that I'm seeking to get us to understand that large statement, that large word, ummah, it's a world. It's the world that Allah wants us to build so that nature, and now I'm saying nature, that is inside of us. That's nature, right? But then also you have nurture. You also have the environment, right? Our objective is, as Muslims, as servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our objective is to relate to nature, the design of Allah, in a way that is suited to our nature. So that we usually talk about the environment as the source of nurture and the human being as the source of nature. But our way of life, fitratullahi lati fatara an-nasa alayha. Our way of life, our way of life, our deen, our way of life is the harmony and the cooperation of our nature and the cosmos. Our nature and the cosmos. In this environment, in the world that we're in, the way this is designed, it, absent our own culture, we're cut off from the natural relationship between us and the universe itself. It's called media. Media. Media is, means in the middle. It means it comes between. Do you understand? Media comes between our nature and the natural order of creation. And so the more media you're concerned, well, concerned with, consuming, captured by, then the less in touch with your nature and the nature of creation as well, and therefore the less you're going to progress. Because it is a stunting, it has a stunting effect on our growth, right? So this is why we have to build our own ummah. We build our own ummah, then we have our own womb, and we have our own, quote-unquote, media, but it's a media that does not interrupt the natural relationship between my human existence and the universe of creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, right? So this also calls in all the other things that we need to do in order to facilitate our natural human growth. We need all those other things, right? We need property, we need culture, we need those things, I mean aesthetic culture, when you talk about the arts, the music, the literature, and all those kinds. Those things are things that contribute to a people. And if you don't have your own, then you're consuming somebody else's, and if you're consuming somebody else's, you're being shaped and molded in their image, not the image, quote-unquote, that Allah has established for us. So, family is the place where the very early and important, and really it's a limited opportunity to have an impact, because as Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, play with them for 7 years, teach them their dad for 7 years, be their friend for 7 years, then let loose the reins. At some point in time, you have to let go. At some point in time, you have literally no control. In the early periods of time, you have some control. But if you're not doing the right thing while that clay is wet, while that window is open, then that opportunity is going to close and the person is going to be whoever they have become. And we've already explained 90% of personality is formed by the time they're 10 years old. And so if you haven't done the work by the time they're 10 years old, then 90% of who they are has already been shaped by something else. This is why Islamic parenting is crucial. And it's like, you know, I'll put it this way. It's like, it's not a life sentence in a way of, in a manner of speaking. But the point is this, that the opportunity to really make a difference are in those early years. And as the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at 10 years old, separate them in their bed at this time. So I'm going to transition to the point that we were traveling on, the four-phase evolution of this fitr. Fitrullahi lati fatara an-nasa alayha. Our way of life, ذلك الدين قيما. Our way of life is fitr. That's what it's called. And every human being is born on fitr. Right? Our responsibility as parents, tarbiyah, education, tarbiyah, parenting. Inside of the word itself, Rabb, is we are cooperating and we are, quote unquote, in the social sense, partners with Allah for the raising up of new human beings to be what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to be. All right? And so you already know as we're talking that the world as it's structured right now and the world as it's pushing and pressing right now is against everything that we are for. Effectively speaking, everything that we are for, they're against prayer, they're against God, they're against clear gender identities of boys and girls, right? They're against whatever, traditional values. having those obligations and responsibilities in that regard. So, and we spent a lot of time last week talking about who it is that's behind that. I'll just say the word and move on, postmodernism. So if you ever get a chance to look into that, do that. All right, so this fitr is supposed to follow a fourfold path. And we've already talked about, and I'll end an element of this and make inshallah get to that next element. The four phases: autoerotic, heterosexual, commitment, parenting. That's the cycle, all right? Human being is born, and for a period of time, they are children. In al-Islam, they become mukallaf when they reach puberty. When they reach puberty, now this fourfold path has formally begun. So the passions and the impulses and the urges and the appetites that come up in the body are appetites now that person, young person, has to, quote unquote, do battle with in the light of what's expected of them and what their body is inviting them to. Their body is saying, do this, do this, do this. Their values, now, of course, I'm talking about Muslim children particularly, and children of families that believe in God. They are conflicted. They're conflicted because my body is saying it's good, it feels good, it's pleasure, why not, et cetera, where the values and the parents and the religion is telling them not now, not now, not now, or not without this or without that or without this. There's a way that it's supposed to be done. And then you have the media in the world saying, don't pay attention to your parents. Your parents are stupid. They're outdated. They don't know what's going on. Listen to us. We are your real friends, right? This is the media talking to them, right? So there's that conflict. We want to understand, inshallah, just simply understand that is the battle. But the way as parents, but the way that we go about it is also critical. As well, my simple position right now is, meaning at this very second, is for us to understand that it's for us to understand the structure that Allah has ordered. And fastabiqul khayrat is okay. What's best under the circumstances? You have your child. I have my child. You have your family, I have my family. And the circumstances that obtain in your situation are circumstances that obtain in your situation. فَسَبِقُ الْخَيْرَى for you will mean what's right for me under the circumstance is to do X, Y, or Z, whatever. You have to decide for yourself, right? So you have a child, you have a teenager, you have a 7-year-old, you have a 10-year-old, boy, girl, etc. It's like, on what level, it's not one size fits all. Abstractly, yeah, the 7-year-olds then be this way in general with them. The 10-year-olds be this way with them in general. The teenagers be this way with them in general. The specifics of your particular situation is something that you have to know. You have to find out. You have to do. But you have to do that, I say, as a Muslim, speaking to you now, as one who believes in what Allah has ordered, then what you do have to do is you have to do it to the best of your ability, what is called for your child under those circumstances, in your family construct, what you believe is best. And you ask Allah to bless it. You ask Allah to bless your effort. But there's no bona fide way of saying, oh, I know I got that right. I know I'm doing exactly the right thing I need to do for my child. I don't know. Allahu a'lam. That's what dua, that's what salat, that's what the practice of al-Islam are critical for. So the first stage of these four movements, because the goal is to get that human being through these four movements. The autoerotic phase is automatically going to come online, and we've already spoken up about that to understand it's the place where they seek, I'm going to give you a college word, detumescence, if you can spell it, then look it up, and then, inshallah. But they seek detumescence, and this is seeking this detumescence, It doesn't matter. Mineral, plant, animal. Mineral, plant, animal. I'll give you another word so we can move past the subject. Fetish. Look up the word fetish. When you look up the word fetish, F-E-T-I-S-H, it means that there are many different ways for people to seek that pleasure. They seek that pleasure. You know, I won't detail any of them. Come on now. Y'all old enough to know how things can go. I used the one that I said to myself this morning. It's like somebody can have an erotic relationship with cornflakes, whatever. It's like, oh, man, really? Yeah. There's all kind of ways to be off track for as far as that is concerned. Wires get crossed and the like. Okay. All that falls into the autoerotic stage. So that means the autoerotic stage is a stage where the tumescence is sought, whether it be mineral, plant, or animal, male or female, that until it's been given direction, it will satisfy itself by any means necessary, if I use that language, right? All right, so that's a problem. So what's supposed to happen? What's supposed to happen is that the culture, the society, the parents are supposed to be helping to guide and identify and form and send in the right direction those urges, those appetites, those impulses. And the direction that it's to be sent into is heterosexuality. The boys are supposed to be aimed at the girls. The girls are supposed to be aimed at the boys. Remember, we pointed out that in this phase that they're in, the identity versus role confusion, that's the literal name of the category in these growth phases of adolescence and what have you, they have the identity versus role confusion, right? Okay, well, that's another role, that's a particular place where ummah, the collection of people who identify with ummah, okay, it's our collective job to provide and be the womb and to be the source of values and guidance and direction for our young people to tell them, no, we go for the boys, go for the girls, and the girls go for the boys. We don't have the boys go for the boys and the girls go for the girls. That's what everybody in the ummah is saying. And given that they are in the world of the ummah, of that group, then that becomes the reality for those boys and those girls. That's the ummah's responsibility. A parent and a family can't provide the totality of that womb alone. It's the responsibility of the collective group to provide the womb that has a world of influences sending them in that appropriate direction, right? So let's just move on to say, okay, so given that we are successful, right? We are successful in that. The idea is to understand that heterosexuality is the direction. Well, there's still something that can go wrong, quote unquote, go wrong, enjoying what is right, thank you, enjoying what is right, forbid what is wrong. There's still something that can go wrong in as much as a boy, teenager, what have you, is like, yeah, I ain't gay. Let's just go there right quick. I ain't gay. Yeah, I love all women. I love the girls, man. And so then that becomes his life. His life is chasing women, chasing girls nonstop, without limit. Everyone a target. Notches on my belt. You understand? I know there ain't nobody in here like that, but I'm just saying. Possibly, maybe in the high school time, yeah, maybe some of y'all might remember somebody who was like that, right? Okay, it's like, okay, well, good. You got past phase one. That's good. Now you're in phase two, yeah, the heterosexual piece, good. But you're not done because you got two more steps to go. So given the heterosexual choice is made, and so they're tied into the heterosexual choice, that's the natural flow of fitr.
Anything else is not on the, on, let's call it, the rail line of fitr. You're off track. When you're on track, good. At least it's heading in the heterosexual direction. That's good from a fitri point of view, but you're not done until you get married with that phase. Now it's marriage. Say, look, no. You can't be laying up with every boy, with every girl that you see. This is the heterosexuals in our, among our children. You're letting them know. No. Loose life, sexuality, friends with benefits, that is promiscuity. Friends with benefits, whatever the language is, that's un-Islamic. That's we don't accept that as in the Islamic standard. Enjoying what is right, forbid is wrong. That's just what it is. Now remember, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he answers the question, well, how do we deal with that? He said, when they reach puberty, they should marry. That's our way of life. That's how al-Islam deals with the nature that Allah created, and then he gave us his perfect favor in the way of life that is a mirror reflection of how to live this life, this natural life, and the Prophet as the model. So it's like, okay, here you have a child, they have become mukallaf, they have passed the autoerotic stage, they're at the heterosexual stage, now it's time for them to move to the next stage. Well, the next stage is marriage. All right? So then you can think about, and all of us, you can run through your mind all the different, quote-unquote, reasons, I won't even call them excuses, reasons why, no, we can't do that because it is that, whatever. But you got to remember who you're talking to. You're telling God, and you're telling the Prophet, I hear what you're saying, but I can't do that. I hear what you're saying, but we're not going to be, yes, you can. Yes, you can. But what is the point? Well, تَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ ummah. See, if we have an ummah, what's incorporated in that ummah is everybody shares that understanding. A little this definition of culture, if I can remember it accurately. One definition of culture is a group of people who share the same worldview and the methods for solving problems. That is, they share methods of solving problems, and they interact with each other in a way that reinforces those values. Okay? So it's like, if we're in the same, quote unquote, let's just call it a tribe, let's get a culture, what have you. Okay, we're in the same, what does that mean? We have shared values. What else do we share? We have a shared worldview. What else do we share? We have a shared perception of how to solve problems. Okay? All right, so if we're all in the same ummah, you have children, I have children. And we subscribe to what the Quran says, we subscribe to what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has modeled, and now my child is at that stage where the Prophet said they should marry, and your child is at that stage where they should marry. What are we going to do? That's what we have to understand amongst each other. What are we going to do? See, because the machinery of biology, except it keeps working. It doesn't stop working because I can't afford it. It's going to do what it's going to do. All right? Point is that how much is the Muslim community members structuring themselves in a way that facilitates the religion, quote unquote? What are we doing to facilitate that? And they should marry. Okay, and what are we doing to make that happen? What are we doing to accommodate that? What are we doing to aim our children in the direction of marriage? Because the Prophet has already told us, separate them in their beds at that time, 10 years old. So the Prophet said you should definitely be thinking about it before they're 10 years old. Again, why? Social science says 90% of personality is formed by the time they're 10 years old. So you know, we have to ask ourselves, okay, are we Muslims on our job as servants of Allah? And you know all this, as I finish this part of the khutbah, all this, it's not funny, I'm just saying. Just when you think about it, it's like everything that I'm saying, and it's not even complete what I'm saying. That's just the subfloor, to use construction language. That's just the subfloor for the goal of إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة. Allah's plan is way out there. إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة. These are just little elements that need. You know, you're trying to build a house, but you don't have any nails. Trying to build a house, but you don't have any wood. You see what I mean? Khalifa is the house. Khalifa is the house. But family are the base materials out of which the out of which Khalifa is going to be built. But if you don't have a system by which you are continuing to create or produce the material that's needed to build Khalifa fil ard, then you got to ask yourself, then what are we doing here? What are we doing here?
ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب آمين اللهم آمين. الله أكبر.
بسم الله. This phase that we're speaking of is identified as the modeling phase. The modeling phase is the phase where nature is calling for what's the example, what's the rule, what's the law, right? That's what the 8 to 14 year old is looking for. All those inside of that phase that we've been talking about, that's what they're looking for. They're looking for what the rules are. Understand this, marriage. So now we're talking about marriage. We dealt with the heterosexual piece. Now we're talking about marriage. And marriage is a mechanism. I want you to understand that ummah is a mechanism as well, meaning that it's machinery that's designed as a car, right? You have a car. The car is a mechanism, right? And there's certain ways that that mechanism called car has to be constructed in order for it to do what it does. That Ray Charles idea keeps coming through my head. You know, it's going to do what it do, right? in order for it to function the way that it's intended to function, there's a certain way that it has to be put together, right? Ummah is a mechanism. And in order for ummah to do what it's intended to do, it has to be constructed in a certain way because it is a mechanism for a certain purpose. Marriage is a mechanism inside the mechanism of ummah. Marriage is a mechanism inside of it. And parenting is a mechanism inside of ummah. So you see, you go to your car, you try to start it, and it doesn't start, then you have to start searching for, okay, what's the problem? There's going to be, you will have to identify which part of the mechanism is not functioning the way it should be functioning in order for this total machinery to function the way that it should be functioning. That's where we are in the context. Ummah is machinery. You don't get that until you get the subcomponents of it, one of which is family, right? And then family has to function in a certain way in order for the human beings in it to arrive in the shape and form that Allah intended for them so that they can join and be a part of the mechanism. You see what I'm saying? If we don't produce the parts and connect the parts in such a way that the mechanism can do what it's intended to do, the design is clear. The blueprint for it is clear. Al-Islam is the blueprint. We have to look at the blueprint and say, okay, well, we don't have one of these. Oh, okay, and we also don't have one. Okay, well, this is not connected in the way that it should be connected. And that's the work. And to whatever extent we're not doing it, we can say whatever we want to say. You can say whatever you want to say. You can be mad about the car not starting or anything like, okay, and that's going to get it started? Sooner or later, you have to just shut up, find out what needs to be done, and do what? And do it. Marriage is a mechanism. And it's a mechanism, as we talked about, wax on, wax off. It's a mechanism that Allah has in it powers and products that will come from it that we haven't even imagined. But I'm going to tell you some of what is the product of marriage. And we're going to be concluding. Listen to the word matrimony. Matrimony. Right? Well, the first thing you can hear from it, from a humorous take, you know, mattress. Mattress. But that's not the point. matrix. Matrix. Matrix is what? It's a womb. A matrix is a womb. Of what? Money. What was that? Money. It's the womb of money. We already told you a whole lot, adolescents, teenagers, we talked about these words. This is another word that's been preserved for the elite, and they know about it, but the rest of us, we just hear it, and we don't know what it means, but mashallah, inshallah, understand this. Matrimony is the matrix of money. I can't get married, I don't have no money. Look, you get married, you will get some money. Because that's the machinery. Matrimony, marriage is a mechanism for making money. I won't even charge you for that. I won't even charge you for that. Marriage is a mechanism for making money. And the world also knows that. Because when you have the word economy, economy, what is it from? Oikonomi. 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 Oiko means what? House. Oiko means house. Nami means what? The law. Oikonomi, economy, is the law of the house. You want to understand the state of your economic situation? Look at the state of your house. Everything about it. How you're handling things about it. Because that's your economy, right? Matrix, matrimony, economy, etc. The point is that when you marry, it will bring out potentials in you that cannot come otherwise. And that's the dynamic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us together, created you mates of like nature. Allah knows how the female affects the male nature. And Allah knows how the male nature affects the female nature. Okay? So He has made marriage an impulse, an appetite. There is a natural appetite in us. Human beings are monogamous creatures, are pair-bonding creatures in archaeological, anthropological language. Pair-bonding creatures. Why? Because God created us with that nature. All right, what happens? And the one point that I'm speaking to make here is this. We may not know it, we may not recognize it, but I'm trying to bring you to a recognition of it. Absence of marriage accounts for a great deal of the absence of manhood in our society. Marriage makes men. Marriage makes men. Marriage makes men. Because if and when you marry, and you do it the way that your Lord has ordered it to be done. It ain't about her talking to the men, and it ain't about him talking to the women. It's about you and God. At the end of that key verse, Inna Allah alaykum raqib. Allah is over you as a supervisor. The wife has a job to do, the man has a job to do, and Allah is the supervisor. And when we act in accordance with what the supervisor has ordered, then what the supervisor intends to evolve in the man and in the woman, that's what's going to come up. But absent that relationship, you're missing a mechanism for manhood. So that fitr that's supposed to be moving on in a particular direction through the dynamic of autoerotic, heterosexual to marriage, there it's gotten detoured again. But it's still alive. And the interaction in matrimony, the interaction in marriage that cultivates the masculine excellence, the masculine excellence can't grow because the soil for the masculine excellence is the soil called woman. Oh yeah, that's the Quran. It said, and your women, nisaakum harfun lakum, and your women are like cultivated earth to you. You have to put the soil of your masculine self into the relationship of marriage, and it's in the soil of marriage that your masculinity grows and evolves. That's what, and therefore the absence of marriage is contributing to the absence of manhood. You can play with it, ignore it. I'm all right. No, you got to get that done. You got to get that done. Because no matter what you're doing without it, you're not doing as much as you can and should do with it. Because there's potential in the male that cannot be brought out by another man. And I ain't talking about your daddy. And there's a potential in the feminine that cannot be brought out by another woman. I'm almost done. That is, you see the dress up. I see a couple who is a couple. He said, oh, okay. She the man. He's the woman. Talking about one of those alternative lifestyle couples. Okay. You can already see. That one's the man, and that one's the woman. That one's the man, that one's the woman. Why? Why? Why somebody got to be one or the other? That's nature. Nature says somebody got to be the man. Somebody, if we're going to be a couple, somebody's got to be the man, somebody's got to be the woman. So, attempts are made to make that real. And then here comes the media again to tell you, oh, why this is equal as that one, and marriage is a construct. And so, there is no God, there's no purpose, there's no this and that, there's no nature, whatever's natural, whatever feels good to you. You said, do what feels good. Do what's right for you. That's the shaitan. That's what our young people are being fed. That's what they're dressing it up with bells and whistles and colors and drama and music and, you know, isn't it glorious? That's Satan. I'm going to put it just plain and simple. And I always say, I'm closing, believe it or not, it does actually happen sometimes. Listen. We love our children. We love our children. But that doesn't mean our children won't get caught up in whatever the fad and whatever is popular out there, because the world makes it attractive. Think about Pinocchio being taken to Pleasure Island and turned into a donkey. That's what happened. God has already covered us on this. Remember Noah's son. Remember Noah's son. Noah's telling him, hey, look, get on the boat. He said, no, I got something I can do. I'm good. I can handle it by doing this. Noah said, look, there's nothing to do to get out of this. It's going down. It's going down. Noah's son, I got it. So he ran to a mountain like he was going, I'm good. And he was driving with the rest of them. And Noah pleaded to Allah. Listen, this is a prophet. You and I, we're not prophets. This is one of the prophets of God who for 9 centuries, it says, worked on God's plan to build this ark. That's a long time. And here you got a son. You've been seeing me doing it. You're not going to get with this. So Noah, he said, oh God, my son. God said, he's not your son. Why? Because his behavior is not like yours. And don't ask me, this is God talking to Noah that he had working for 900 years. And don't ask me about what you don't know. How about us? Yes. Our children may very well be caught up in every wrong side of whatever it is I'm talking about. It happens. And the religion has told us how to deal with it. If their behavior is not like yours, you can call them your son, daughter, genetically, DNA, all that. That's true. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not your children. Your children have been taken away from you by the world. And Allahu a'lam, Allah knows. And your Lord is most gracious, most merciful. And your Lord knows what pains you. And your Lord knows who's deserving and who's not. We have to be totally submitted to Allah. It's your will. It's your will. I'm going to do the best I can. I have done the best I could, and I'm going to keep praying for a better outcome than the one I'm experiencing right now. But my Lord, I am not expressing any regret, doubt, ill will about you or towards you. Help me bear it better. Help me understand it. Meaning, comfort my heart. If that's the case. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Allah, we thank you for your graces. We thank you for your blessings. We are grateful to you in every way. Allah, show us how to deepen our gratitude, how to deepen our appreciation for you. Allah, enlighten us. Allah, give us light in our hearts. Give us light in our minds. Give us light in our spirits. Bless us, Allah, to see and recognize the pitfalls of shaitan, whether they be inside of ourselves, whether they be inside of our relatives, whether they be inside of our husbands, whether they be inside of our wives, whether they be inside of our children, whether they be inside of the institutions that are aligned against your will. O Allah, strengthen us. Make us powerful in our submission to your will. O Allah, bless us to practice this way of life in such a way that you become the ear with which we hear, the eye with which we see, the feet upon which we walk, the hand upon which we strike. Allah, with your help, we can do all. Without your help, we can do nothing. Ameen. Amen. Amen.
Their minds, we can't hesitate. We've got to save the children. get caught up in the activities of the world, and we tend to neglect our most honored gift. Talking about the gift of life, all of the children throughout the world. And you know, Almighty God has charged us to be responsible for all of the children. We'd like to appeal to everyone. Let us all come together. Take a stand. Save ourselves. Save the children. And save the world. Calling out.
Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, thank you for joining us this morning for Universe of the Midst of Leadership. Alhamdulillah, we just aired yesterday's recording of Jum'ah Live from Masjid Warthin, Oakland, California. Alhamdulillah, continuing on the subject, the five foundations for building Ummah, the five obligations for building Ummah. And we're in the focus of our families, our future, and within that, psychology of sexuality. That was basically the sixth part of it. Alhamdulillah, we don't know, you know, where it ends, mashallah, but we pray Allah guides us to gain more and be beneficial to all. It's your time right now. Excuse me. I'd like to hear from you. So push one on your phone. If you're on Blog Talk, push one on your phone. Come on through. And also, sometimes the comments come through from StreamYard for as far as Facebook and YouTube. Bismillah. So let's talk. Elmar, assalam. Oh, hold on, hold on.
Philemon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Imam Fahim Shoaib, and to your very astute listening audience. This is Mark Shahi from the STL, the gateway city of St. Louis and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, always. And once again, par excellent, excellent khutbah. I listened very attentively to this khutbah, and so much that was said that I think that it just needs to marinate in everybody's mind that listened to it, you know, in terms of the tools that you use to deliver it, which is always Al-Quran is the foundation of the base for all of your khutbahs. This is something Imam Muhammad really emphasized. And then even in looking at the natural creation, and the human being is part of the natural creation. You know, and I'll be brief because you may have some other people that are lined up and want to have something to say. As I thought about that, I thought about my professional career as a painter decorator, and I worked as a union painter, so I served an apprenticeship, and in running and supervising and being a foreman on jobs, I learned how to read blueprints, and you have excavation, you sometimes have demolition, or maybe say old buildings that have to be demoed, have to be torn down, and a new foundation have to be established for what it is that you're going to build. And I relate this in terms of this is the concrete, but as you say, abstract, and I love when you say abstract, abstract is that which is true, but no details to it. But we do have details in the religion of Al-Islam when we're talking about building Ummah, and I love how you did that in terms of doing, as the Imam said, in definition is direction. Well, if we move in the wrong direction and we need correction, then we have to go back and see how have we misdefined things. There have to be a demolition in terms of the misconception and misperception, first and foremost, of the sacred institution of marriage, and you're talking about the psychology of sexuality, that has to be redefined again. So there's a demolition that has to happen even in our thinking, because a word is a message, what is sent to the mind, in terms of what it makes you do. So if you're not doing the right thing, then obviously you don't have the right message. And we know that word message, that the first four letters of that means that there's going to be a mess. And this is what we've seen today in society. We're seeing a big mess as the proper conception and perception of the sacred institution of marriage and also sexuality has been denigrated. It has been denigrated. And I don't care how many times you say the Shahadatain, it doesn't exempt you from the popular culture, as you were saying, if you don't establish your own culture. This is so very important because they have an impact. And not to mention or underscore the importance of tarbiyah in terms of parents and parenting. But also, you've said it, Imam Muhammad has said it also, in terms of role and responsibility of educating. They come hand in hand. It's like glove, hand in glove, in regards to that as being a vital component for building Ummah. So, you know, I'm saying all this to say, Imam Shoaib, and I know I've been on probably longer than I should be, but this is near and dear to my heart. when we look at today, in retrospect, to all it is that has been said, and you're 100% on target in regards to that, how many, and this is just a rhetorical question, I'm not even asking you to answer it, but I'm asking the question, a rhetorical question for us to think about, how many of us are consciously regardful of our role, our responsibility in Allah's scheme of things, in Allah's will and plan for the human being, and really understand that and really ready to make those needed and necessary changes so that we can truly be servants to what Allah's will, plan, and purpose is for the human being. And I think that this is so highly important for us to really give some thought and some deep consideration if we are really talking about making some real changes. And we know that the family is the first social unit, you know, and there is a way that we are to get to family life. And I love the instruction that it is that you have in terms of sexuality, and I always say, where is it in and outity? It's a play on the word reality. So sexuality is the reality of sex, and where is it supposed to go, you know? I could say more, but I think I may have said enough or too much, so if it is, I do apologize. But I wanted to say those. Allah put it on my heart to say this. Part excellent, 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 Kutbah. It resonated with me from start to finish, from start to finish. And I said, alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah. I know I appreciate you and what it is that you're giving us. And, you know, if you had to go to school to get a lot of this substantive information, you'd be paying a lot of money. And most certainly the shaitan don't want this type of information, because one of the things he really relishes in doing is breaking up marriages. I mean, this is the main things that it is. And they even have hadith. I don't know how authentic the hadith really is, how sahih it is, affirm it is. But when you hear it, and if you just let it resonate in your mind, it is said that this is one of the main things that he wants to do is break up marriage, because we are social beings, and it's very important that we understand that and we establish that type of bond. This is needed and necessary for the growth and development for not only the men, but also for the women to be all that we can be. I'll stop there, Brother Imam. Excellent, excellent. Keep up the great work. I'm going to continue to listen. Sorry I missed last week, but we had a almost 97-year-old pioneer. He'd been in the community for 60 years, and the janazah was on the Saturday, and that pioneer happened to be my children's maternal grandmother, so I had to be there for that.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, I'm crying, Brother Imam. As-salamu alaykum.
And grant them paradise, inshallah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, 215, which name were you calling from?
Assalamualaikum, Brother Imam. It's Brother Dante. Yes, sir.
Hey, Dante, what's going on, my brother?
Man, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Always in the pursuit of happiness.
That's it. The city of brotherly love and what, really affection. How is that how y'all say it?
Something like that. I just wanted to, kind of to say as far as I was listening the other day to you and Camila's talk on the Monday broadcast, and that was just so powerful. And the other day I was listening to Noam Chomsky about language. And then, you know, I didn't get to finish listening to the Juma from yesterday, but just, you know, you talking about what the words make people words make people behave, words make people do what they behave, how they act, or however you said it. And it's just how powerful language is, and you know the importance of understanding, you know, language in the context, and like you talked about what a definition once was versus what it is, and you know, and just thanking you for, you know, having the experiences that you've had and giving us a blueprint to be able to follow, because like you said, there is no real manual on parenting. And, you know, every time I hear you talk, I reflect on, I use the EVE and the first, because, you know, those things, however you came to those things, have been such a powerful tool in my life to use within first myself and then within my family. And you know, I just thank you for that. And it's like, you know, I have a 10-year-old son, you know, and, you know, a lot of what you are giving us, it is, you know, that high knowledge that they teach in college, and, you know, the fact that, you know, Allah has allowed you to come to it, you know, through the imam and just intuitively and share with us. I so appreciate it, because, you know, I see the reflection of that in my son and the way that he is as he, in, you know, is in our family, and just being in that awareness for me so that I can have those conversations with him, so that he doesn't get caught up in the media, you know, when he's watching, you know, things on TV and on his computer and stuff like that. So, and I didn't have that growing up. You know, some of the, when you talked in the gym about, you know, the autoerotic and the heterosexual, and now you get into the commitment, and, you know, you know, whether you were in that, I was that guy, you know what I mean? And now that I'm married, and then you know, it's like the evolution of me, hearing you talk about it and listening to you as often as I do, it's helping me become a better man, a better husband, a better father, a better friend. And, you know, I'm just thankful for that. And, but my question is, you know, as we talk about Ummah, can Ummah be initially, as you are growing, an internal thing, and then, you know, as you grow in your understanding of what Allah expects of us, you know, through reading and hearing, you know, the imams and you know, as yourself, expand out into the family and then community? Is that how it starts, or is it just the Ummah itself, collective?
Yeah, alhamdulillah. I'm gonna take your question and make that the basis for the rest of my commentary this morning, because it is very critical. So my this morning's class will be the answer to your question, mashallah, meaning it will be a response to you. So I thank you for all your good works, your goodwill, and mashallah, and we're going to push on by responding to the question that you're asking.
Thank you, brother, man.
All right, thank you. May Allah continue. Alhamdulillah. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and move on using Dante's question, because Saturdays, you know, formally, I don't always come to the broadcast with a specific agenda, let's just call it. So that is a very, very useful question, very, very useful to extend this. All right, so... So we're gonna go without PowerPoints and the like. So we'll just be talking directly this morning. To begin with, obviously Quran is always the best place to start. So One thing that comes to mind is where the Quran says, "Inna Allah anbatakum min al-ardi nabat." Allah says, "Surely He, that is Allah created you growing gradually from the earth, growing like a plant." Then conceptualize. There are verses that, I mean, all of it's one universe. I'm talking about everything in the book, all the revelation. The revelation itself is a universe in the book. That's not just rhetoric. So that's not rhetoric. When you have the Quran in your hand, you have the universe in a book in your hand. Okay? Our way of life. The verse that I just cited, 71:17, there's a message in the fact that it's a palindrome. It reads the same way backwards and forwards, 71:17. Also, another mirroring verse, 30:30, Surat al-Rum, or the Romans, a mirror. The verse mirrors the chapter mirrors the verse. And it also alludes to, and Allah knows best, alludes to macrocosm, microcosm. Macrocosm, microcosm. Why so? Because inside that verse it says, Fitatullahi lati fatara nasa alayha. Fitatullahi lati fatara nasa alayha. And the idea is, and the message is, that the same thing, the same nature that is in us, it is in us because we are patterned on the universe itself. We are patterned on the universe itself. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayh, he gives us the concept of creation-supported social logic. Creation-supported social logic. What does creation-supported social logic mean? Creation-supported social logic means you look at the creation, where Allah says in many places in the Quran, "Inna fi dhalika layatun liqaumin yatafakkarun," speaking of natural phenomena and historical phenomena, cycles and behaviors, it says, "Surely in this are signs for those who grasp the concept." In many different ways, Allah says that, "Liqaumin yaqilun," "Liqaumin yu'minun," people who are scientific, the people who are believers, of people who can grasp the concept, of people who reflect. So God is saying, I'm always teaching you in Quran. I'm not absolutely certain about the verse, but I believe it's something around 2, Surah Al-Baqarah 282 or 283, where a long verse, but it concludes or inside or toward the end. It says, وَتَقُوا اللَّهِ وَيُعَلِمَكُمُ اللَّهِ, and have taqwa for Allah because Allah is always teaching you. Right, so in the creation there are ayahs, there are signs, right, instructing signs, sometimes translated as miracles, right? But miracles give you the idea that it's something outside of the normal behavior of nature. Oh, it's a miracle. So that means it's outside of the normal behavior. No, so it's not a miracle. It's not a miracle because that is nature. That is nature. So when you understand nature, and you understand this nature, this sign from Allah, it's like, it's not a miracle, it's not magic, it's marvelous, right? Why? Because it's something that God did. It's something that God did. What is it that God does that's not going to be marvelous? So it's not miraculous. It's not magic. And marvelous is a kind of a common way of saying it, but let's move on. Trying to get to the idea that created growing like plants, what's going on in the universe, the same thing is going on with us, inside of us, what's going on outside of us, the same thing is going on inside of us. Creation-supported logic, creation-supported social logic is, okay, make the match. Make the match. Match what's going on in the creation. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? Make what's going on in the creation, find it inside of yourself, and order your own personal universe. Order your own personal universe, align in alignment with the
macrocosm, the universe itself. We always talk about this, and again, this is what Imam Muhammad has also explained. By the grace of Allah, it's a part of our inheritance, the key that is a part of our inheritance, and that is that the words that society is structured on, lives on, is driven by, those words are words that are structured in a way to reveal and hide wisdom, reveal and hide, reveal to those who are taught and hide from those who are intended to be rode like donkeys. And the Quran says they're like donkeys carrying books. Who is that? The masses of people who use the language, use the concepts, are socialized by the culture, but have no enlightenment about who they are, how they became who they are in this culture that we're in. But we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Imam Muhammad, by the grace of Allah, brought this to us. So when you look at words like adolescence, we talked about that, adults with less sense, we talk about teenagers, the fig is talking about the scrotum, semen, and the like, figurative concepts, figurative ideas, abstractions, that need to have a womb in order for you to get the details, in order for you to get the structure out of it. So it's like there's structure in the semen, right? But that semen cannot realize, there's a blueprint in the semen, right? But can't get it out until it gets matched up with the mate, the egg in the female. And when those two come together, now that pattern that is inherent, that pattern that's in the nature of the female and the nature of the male, when they come together, when that egg gets formed, a love gets fertilized, now that pattern, the pattern was already existing before intercourse, let's just be blunt, right? Before intercourse, the pattern was already existing, part of it existing in the female, part of it existing in the male. Then when they come together, now you have the two parts that are necessary to begin a new cycle of growth, new cycle of growth pattern. Now, growing from the earth gradually like a plant, that means that the plan, which plan is hidden in the word plan, right, plan, and then, of course, we live on a planet, right? So if you're going to succeed, then you're going to have to plan it. succeed, you know, seed. We just talked about seed. You want to suck seed, then that's a vacuum, right? Suck is a vacuum, right? You have to vacuum. You have to draw out what's in the seed in order to succeed. So that succeeding is drawing out what's in the seed, which is what? Education. Education. So the potential is already in the seed. The plan is already in the seed. Right, but in order to succeed, you have to cultivate that. Well, then we don't have to talk about it, but I just wanted to see the clear connection between Salat, right? Well, we go before that. Quran 21:7-10. These are fundamental, just like basketball or football, any other sport, for example, whatever, or chess, whatever. Maybe some people call chess a sport. The point is that there are certain fundamentals. It's like if you don't get these fundamentals, you can't operate in the domain that we're talking about, right? There are certain fundamentals to basketball, fundamentals to baseball, fundamentals to chess, fundamentals to cooking or whatever. Okay, so what everything I'm talking about right now, every verse that I've said up to this point, I'm not saying I'm about to list all of them, but I'm saying these have to be part and parcel, fundamental, core. You have to understand them. You have to own the knowledge of them by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so 91:7-10 is another one. 91:7-10 is wa nafsin wa ma sawaha fa'alhamaha fujuraha wa taqwaha qad aflaha man zakaha wa qad khaba man dasaha. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. By the soul in the proportion of order given to it, by the soul in the proportion and order given to it. That's the seed. The soul is the seed. The soul is the seed. The plan is in the seed. The plan is in the soul. Qad aflaha man zakaha. He succeeds that caused it, and he cultivated. Qad aflaha. Whoever
whoever cultivates it, or the way to cultivate it, is by purifying it, right? By purifying the seed, by bending on it is another way. And for what I'm saying right now, more significant, to spend on it. That means you spend time, you spend effort, you take time to think on it, reflect on it, learn about it, do the exercises that cultivate it, right? And that's what Al-Islam is, mashallah. That Al-Islam is literally the exercise program for the cultivation of the soul, right? So now you go to Salah. So Hayya al-Salah, Hayya al-Falah. Come to prayer, come to cultivation. That's what it is, cultivation, right? So it's the cultivation of your soul, cultivation of your soul seed, the cultivation of your inherent potential, the growth of the natural pattern that's in you. And that you go back to 30-30, and the 30-30 is telling you that لَا تَبْدِيلَ لَخَلْقِ لَا, don't change the pattern that Allah has established. So this whole trance, even like that. That whole thing, that's directly wrong relative to what Allah has ordered for the human being, and therefore all the unnaturalness that goes with that. But I'm trying to stick with the focus on the soul and its inherent potential, because I heard in Dante's question the idea that is it already there and present in us, or is it something that is, at least that's the way that I understand it, the way I'm responding to it. Is it something that comes from the individual, or something that comes from the collective? You know, most times in Al-Islam, the answer is both, right? So back to words. So we're working on creation-supported social logic, understanding that this is, because you look at the creation, there's an abstraction, meaning a drawing out, which also is another way of this, that's the components that those are. When it says drawing out, it means abstract, but the same drawing out means also education, right? So abstract means abstracting from this. It means drawing out, right? And abstract is also a drawing, right? You have drawing like pencil and whatever, but then you also have drawing like drawing water out of a well. Right. So you have that idea, and education, right? And education is drawing out. And I just talked about succeed, right? Succeed means the same thing. Succeed means to draw out. Suck a vacuum. Seed is that potential, which the potential is the design. The potential is the plan. Meaning that there's a plan. You look at a plan, what is that plan? That plan is the potential for whatever it is you're trying to accomplish. It's a plan, right? So think about it. If you don't have a plan, then how are you going to succeed? How can you succeed if you don't have a plan? And is the potential for the success. Okay, so much for that. So creation-supported social logic, succeed. And we're getting to this compatibility between the universe and our personal self. Right, the universe and our personal self, right? So, and how do you do that? You know, Zadik ad-Din al-Qayyimah, 30-30. And then how do you do that? You realign. So you have religion, right? The word religion, R-E-L-I-G-I-O-N. R-E-L-I-G-I-O-N. But Imam Muhammad, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, he has given us the key to this constructed language. Look at the word realign. Realign, R-E-A-L-I-G-N. See, the world teaches us, say it like this and don't say it like that. Say it like this and don't say it like that, right? Because if you say it one way, it's going to signal a sound, right? And again, I'm still talking fundamentals from Imam Muhammad. These are fundamentals that students of Imam Muhammad do and must walk around with. You walk around with this. You're talking about knowledge that you need to have when you don't have a book with you. This is what I'm saying, and this is no boast. None of that what I'm saying is boast, right? You study something for 50 years, and if you don't really know, if you're not fluid with it, then you haven't studied it for 50 years, okay? So let's move on. So the idea, religion, realign, right? Realign. Imam told us, right, one of the fundamentals from his language. He said, if there's a silent letter, then there's a secret in it. If there's a silent letter, then there's a secret in it, right? So, realign. So when I spell the word realign, R-E-A-L-I-G-N, realign. There's a silent letter in it. Where's the G? You don't hear that G, right? Right? And just in thinking about it right now, I'm reflecting on it, that, you know, realign, you have the G, right? So the G, missing realign. Okay, well, let's bring the G in and give it some sound. When you give it sound, now it's religion. Religion. R-E-A-L-I-G-N. Yes, and I know you see the word real on the front of it, real, right? In order to make your life real, in order to really become what you are, in order for Pinocchio to become a real boy, you have to realign yourself with the natural order of creation. And that's when Imam Muhammad talks about it. If you don't have Imam Muhammad, the books that have been put together by Imam Ronald, you should get him, you should have that. And any books that are done by sincere, trustworthy students of Imam Muhammad, you should have them. You should read them. You should study them. Alhamdulillah, Imam Rashad, he has some publications coming out cyclically, and no doubt, continue. That's a part. And he is also a part of the inheritance that comes from. And there are others, alhamdulillah. I'm going to get away from that because people's ego flow is kind of funny sometimes. Religion. Realign. Religion means realign. Religion means realign. Religion means to realign yourself. The alignment between self and creation gets broken, right? لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ. Right? That's the broken relationship between man and creation. Now, for some people, it's sort of like just a normal kind of breakage. But for Belalians, it was like an utter destruction from the alignment of Allah. So, and we can talk about the return to the kind of understanding that we're speaking about right now. We can talk about that as a miracle, but also with further study, you can see how there is phenomena in nature, in cellular transcription, DNA transcription. You can find what happened to Belalians as the restoration condition that we're in. We call it resurrection in the life. You can find an order, a pattern in nature for what has happened with us. So it's like, yeah, it's a miracle, but on another side, it's the sunnatullah. It's the sunnah of God in this case. It's very, very special. And it takes you to a very Christ archetypal modality. We have to talk about that another time. Let's go back to the question of succeed and the seed and the plan in the seed and the coming out of that seed and the building of ummah. So the ummah that we are to build is already in each one of us. The ummah that we are to build is already in each one of us, right? So you have nafsun wahida, right? Nafsun wahida, another core verse, Surah 4, Ayah 1, right? خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. That's a blueprint. That whole verse 1, Surah 4, it's a blueprint. It's a blueprint from the numbers 4 and 1, and it's a blueprint inside of the message itself. When you unpack it, inshallah, by the grace of Allah, then you see it. So, but this nafsun wahida, Allah says, ma khalakukum wa ba'atukum illa ka nafsun wahida. Don't have a verse number for that right now. No. In any case, 31, ka nafsun wahida. So you have your creation and your resurrection is no wise as one soul. Okay, here verse 4 and 1 says the soul, nafsun wahidatin, that it's all of you are created from that. And then God says, khalakakum ba'atakum illa ka nafsun wahida, your creation and your resurrection is no one except as one soul. So Allah is talking about us as a collective. Allah is talking about us as an individual. Each one of us, call it holographically, Just like when we say macrocosm, microcosm, I am a small universe. You are a small universe. Each one of us is a small universe. It's not buying into any of the whole multiverse and all that. There's only one universe, period. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us each one of us in our bodies, in our personal experience. I exist, you exist, right? I exist, you exist. But there's no two souls. There's nafsun wahida. Nafsun wahida is the universal soul. But I am a node, N-O-D-E. I'm a node in that soul. Here's the way that it's the two expressive. Allah knows best. So you have the transpersonal consciousness. You have the transpersonal consciousness, meaning there's a consciousness that we all, that we share. There's a consciousness that we share, all right? In the context that we're speaking right now, we're speaking of it as soul, right? There's a soul that you and I share because there's only one soul. How do you know that? Because that's what God said. I created you all from one soul. I created you all from one soul. So who are we? We are an each one of us is an expression of that one soul. Our personal expression of that one soul can be said to be a personal consciousness, right? You have nafs as the personal psychology, as your quote-unquote your ego, yourself, your personality, personal reality, right? Your personality is called nafs. And then nafsun wahida, universal self, the universal soul, transpersonal consciousness. It goes beyond you and me, but we share it, right? But each one of us has this, by the design of Allah, this kind of siloed sense of experience that gives us the sense that I'm separate from you and you're separate from me. But in reality, we're not separate from, in reality, I'm talking about capital R, reality. No, you're connected to me. I'm connected with you. I am drawing from the same universal consciousness that you are drawing from, but you are drawing from it from the context of you biologically, from the context of you formally, right? But each one of us, it's like we're swimming in the same ocean. We're swimming in the same ocean, but you have your body, I have my body. But there is a transpersonal reality that we both share, and it's called nafsun wahida, right? And you and I, we have our individual lives. The goal is for us to come together. When now you look at Surah 2, Ayah 1, that whole section of verse, I would say 145 to 155 is how I usually mention it because it's all there, Allahu A'lam. But 2:148 says, to each is a goal to which is turning, so strive in the race towards all that is good. Wheresoever you start forth, turn toward the sacred mosque, right? All right, again, abstract, truth without details. When you unpack it, you detail, Allahu A'lam. And each one of us, to talk about the Quran and understanding from the Quran. You see from your perspective. I see from my perspective. You have 2:148, to each is a goal to which is turning, which means you can use it just for the sake of understanding. You can talk about learning styles, right? You can talk about learning styles, different ways that people process information, right? And then therefore they become that they are reflections of that person's personality. Some people's personality is more analytical. Some people's perspectives are more, I'm going to use idealistic. I'm drawing from something right now. Some people are more focused on the rational. Some people are more focused on the practical. Some people are more focused on the aesthetic. Some people are more focused on the power dynamics. Whatever it could be, who's doing that? That's because who you are. كل يعمل على شاكيلة فربكم من أعلم من هو عاد السبيل. 1784, another one. Everyone acts according to the way that they've been socialized. So some people have been socialized to where they see things more analytically. Some people see things more morally. Some people see things more aesthetically. Some people see more things economically. Some people see more things academically, whatever. That's the way that they've been socialized. And it is, in a manner of speaking, from the universal that I'm speaking of, It is like the story of the six blind men and the elephant, right? The six blind men, and each one of them came up to this thing and were asked to describe it. They were told it's an elephant, and they were asked to describe it, and each one described it from the perspective that they were in contact with it, right? Someone said it was like a tree because he had the leg. Another said it was like a wall because he felt the side of it. Another said it was like a rope because he had the tail. Another said it was like a spear because he had the tusks, right? And the other said it was like a snake because he had the trunk. And another said it was like a fan because he had the ears, right? So each one had a part of it, but neither one of them had the whole. Well, that's how it is with us and the universal soul and the truth of whatever it is that we are touching, right? But you see from your perspective, I see from my perspective. If we can learn how to put our sincere and correct perspective, we can put all those together, then we'll have the whole all over again. But each one is more oriented toward one thing than the other. All right, so this is why we all need each other. The Bible has said something very similar, where the Bible says, if the whole body were an eye, then where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the seeing be, right? So Allah makes us all, quote, unquote, different. Life socializes us all different. But each one of us in our developments bring a capacity that makes a contribution to the whole. So this is why in the verse, the set of verses 2145, 155, when it says, okay, each one of you have been made, I'm just simplifying. Each one of you have been made different. Each one of you have been raised and developed to see from a particular perspective. Okay, good. Your perspective is good because everybody is looking at a part of the whole. Now, when you come together and put your piece with that piece and this piece with that piece, as Shura invites us to, then you'll be able to see the whole. But you can't see the whole without the benefit of the perspective of everybody else that's involved or that's a part of the world that you're in or a part of what it is you're trying to create. you know, simple kind of statement, teamwork makes the dream work, right? So, and see, that's why the call is always to us. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ عُمَّةٍ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. Let there come out of you a group that wants to coalesce as a body, as a unit, as a culture, and each one bringing their perspective. And it says, turn toward the sacred mosque. When it says, turn toward the sacred mosque, turning toward the sacred mosque means that you take your perspective, but you are committed to the same master mission. I take my perspective, but you're committed. But we're committed to the same master mission. You understand? If you're an artist, you're still trying to create Khalifa. That's what the sacred mosque is, Khalifa. When you understand, no, and Allah knows that. What are we trying to do? We're trying to realize and implement Allah's will. We become extension Allah's will in creation, just like the parents with tarbiyah. The parent is an extension of God's will. This is why Allah says, have taqwa for me and have taqwa for the parent. Right there with a sense of, quote-unquote, equality from a social perspective. Wa taqullah wal arham. And have the sacred regard for Allah and the relationships, right? And that's a whole universe in there, relationships, right? You have business relationships, you have academic relationships, you have social relationships, you have so many relationships, you have family relationships, et cetera. God is going to have taqwa for those relationships. So therefore, when you keep those relationships as pure as possible, then that's the strength of it, right? And if you and I have a relationship with each other and I pay due regard to that relationship, I don't destroy or sully or corrupt that relationship in all the ways that a relationship can be corrupted. I have taqwa for that relationship and you have taqwa for our relationship, then that purification, it creates a network. Let's go out into the scientific vocabulary, quote unquote, where there is what's called distributed cognition. distributed cognition. Distributed cognition, it goes back. You have the transpersonal self that I've said. You can take that to be nafsun wahidatin, transpersonal, meaning it's personal. I'm a part of it, but there's a part of it that transcends me. It's bigger than me. I'm a part of something, but I'm a part of something that's bigger than me. My part is personal. The part that's bigger than me, but in which I am a part or a part that I'm connected, it's transpersonal. So nafsun wahida is bigger than me, right? But then I am also a nafs, right? That's my personal share. Now, is the issue of growth. Blessed is he that causes it to grow, right? So the growth is I have to, the aspiration should be to extend my reach, awareness, influencedness with the transpersonal self, right? Imam Muhammad said that the soul is bigger than the space that the body occupies. The soul is bigger than the space that the body occupies. So my body occupies the space, but my soul is not just where I am. My soul is not just where I am. And the Imam said also that your soul is wherever you have concerns. Wherever you have concerns, that your soul is there, right? So the idea is that the growth of the soul, the growth of the soul, which is the mission, it said by the soul in proportional order, given it, blessed is he that causes it to grow. Okay, so the idea is how do you cause it to grow? God says in the Quran right there, men zakaha, you spend on it, right? So you make these investments. Don't just think material. You have to think in terms of education, time, consciousness, awareness. You have to spend time thinking on it. Spend time thinking on your soul and what its needs are, and then giving it what it needs. You're cultivating it by knowing what it needs and giving it what it needs. And then understanding the larger mission is a mission that transcends either one of us, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that the believers are like one body. The believers are like one body. So there we are one, but then we are a multiple. We're multiple. And so now, okay. So what I set aside as the foundation, and now thinking about the idea of growth as an individual and as a collective. If you can find that article, I'm just going to look for it right now. Just look for an article. I don't know what kind of archives you have to search for. But it's an article. It's called The Growth of Human Consciousness. The Growth of Human Consciousness, right? It's Imam Muhammad's writing. I had received it some years ago in some network of communications from people who are involved with a group called We Are With W.D. Muhammad, something like that. So if you have an archive of some collection, because I remember it, they were distributed quite a bit. I don't know what's going on with it now. I'm just saying, I'm trying to give you a point of entry to kind of look for it. So if you know somebody that's connected there, ask about the growth of human consciousness. It's a very, 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 very powerful, important article. From as you read it, and you do have to study it, what you'll see, the Imam is telling us, the Imam says effectively, that there's a pattern from the will of God. The pattern. So you think about something that is unseen, intangible, etc. It's just the will of God. There's a pattern in the will of God that Allah wanted to literally come into formal manifestation. Literally, it's like this is going to be transformed from the abstract to the concrete. It's going to be transformed from the unseen to the seen. And then the Imam goes on to talk about how that quote unquote creation, how that manifestation, how it actually comes about. And it starts in matter, then it comes into us, and then it starts in matter, and it's in matter, and then all of our growth and evolution, that pattern, even my growing up as a body, you growing up as a body, Homo erectus, Homo sapien, et cetera, all that is really just preparation. All that is just a prerequisites. All that is just to facilitate the expression, meaning the coming forth of another creature. This is back to another set of verses, 23, Surat al-Mu'minun, 23, ayah 12 through 14. And everything I'm encapsulating billions of years of time right now. Allah has a will. He put that will in matter. Then he drew that pattern up as man, the human being was formed in this evolutionary process. So that it didn't include a line of monkeys. That process, it was growing up. The whole history of man was growing up in order to facilitate one day the expression of God's will in the consciousness of a human being, right? Inni ja'ilu fil ardi khalifa. All of that is, everything I just said is talking about that very fact. So when Allah says in the Quran, ثُمَّ أَنشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ, then we created out of it another creature. This another creature is a creature that has the ability to think and the ability to think about their thinking, and the ability to use their thinking in interaction with what they come to know about the nature of creation and its laws. And then they cooperate with the nature of creation and its laws to bring about further productions that Allah wants to see on the earth. But Allah is using us, the human being. He says, Allah says, don't have the verse for it, but it particularly says that, I create you and what you make. So Allah created us to produce things that he wants extended on the earth. What he wants extended on earth, he uses human beings by his will to bring about the realization of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to exist. That's who we are. That's what we are. And when we are open and cooperative with Allah's will and design, the Hadith Qudusi, either 15 or 25, both of those are very powerful, but where it says, I become the eye with which he sees, the ear with which he hears, the hand with which he strikes, the feet upon which he walks. Where he could ask you something, I'll give it to him. What is it saying? It's saying that human being in cooperation, the part of that comes before that, it says, there's nothing that I love more than that he does the obligatory deeds, and he goes beyond that to do the superobligatory. That's God telling you, says, look, if you want to become more powerful as an expression of my will on earth, then you have to do what you're obligated to do, and you also go beyond that to do what is superobligatory. Then I come to love you, and I become, again, the eye with which you see, etc. All right, so that cultivation is for the purpose of being an extension of Allah's will, so that we can act as ibadullah, that we're acting as ibadullah, because Allah's will is present and operating forcefully through us because we're open to it. And of course, I have to say, as the hadith that speaks of the intellect, Allah says when he created the intellect, he told it to stand up, it stood up, sit down, it sat down, told it to come forward, it came forward, told it to go back, it went back. And Allah says, I have created nothing more excellent than you. So this another creature in 23, 12 through 14, this another creature is the brain and the mind that comes in consequence of it, and then the access that the mind gets to the knowledge that is the universe, and is able to apply that abstracted knowledge to creation or to society. Abstracted knowledge from creation applied to society, that's creation-supported social logic. Then that's how Allah's will gets manifest literally on earth. So when you talk about Suleiman and Daoud and the like, it's like, they went through that track. They went through that track. They got to it, and then they executed what Allah has ordered, what Allah had in the will, in the nature of creation. But now you become an embodiment. You become an expression. You become a portal for the will of Allah by the agency of your development, your cultivation, et cetera, your knowledge, your ability to use the resource of the universe
and manifest Allah's will, establish Allah's will in the earth through your development and through your access and through your application of what is in the creation itself. Now, believe it or not, I'll say something I think is rather simple. Inshallah, Allahu A'lam. Imam Muhammad says we have to grow from smaller circles of identity to broader circles of oneness. We have to grow from smaller circles of identity. So I want you to put this in the context of the personal and the transpersonal, right? My identity is my personal reality, right? My identity is personal reality. So that's the first circle, right? We have to grow from smaller circles of identity, right, to broader circles of oneness. So I have to be able to move spiritually, consciously, et cetera, move from the place where it's only about I, me, me, me. It's me in separation from everything and everyone else. No, you have to grow from smaller circles of identity to broader circles of oneness, to where we learn how to embrace all humanity as creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by that interconnection, that's the goal, right? When Allah said what he said, he created you, your community was once one community, and the idea is for us to return to that same oneness, right? But to do so consciously, right? To do so consciously, and that's where the work is. The work is moving outside of myself to embrace the entire universe as a unit of God, but of course the earth is the place where we have the most work. So we have to grow from individual, right? And we can talk about the whole fourfold phase, which that brings us to marriage, right? We go from myself, then I have to embrace marriage, right? And so now that gives me family. Self, now we got family, all right? Then I have to move away from, quote unquote, being tribal in that regard, because the family is a tribe, right? And then also those families, when they're more than one family, a group of families, now you have community. And you have a group that moves away from being an individual, then they become a family. Then you have family that move away from just being just their family. They get with other families, and now they're a community, right? So then communities, they're not just focused on being communities. They have to become a nation, right? So you have groups of communities that form a national identity, right? Then you have to move from your national identity to take on a universal global identity, right? That's the job and mission of each one of us, to move from an individual to become a family, to move from a family to become a community, to move from a community to become a quote-unquote nation, to move from a nation to become one world. Now, if you can see that imagery, you can draw them as, I think maybe what is that, five circles, right? One circle, you have the self on the inside, and circle outside of that, you have the family, circle outside of that, you have the community, circle outside of that, you have the nation, circle outside of that. Then you have the world. You and I have to move as a person to move from one circle to the next circle, to the next circle, to the next circle. That's our mission, right? And a part of the imagery of that, creation, support, and socializing, part of the imagery of that is a tree. Just looking at a tree growing from the inside. You've seen trees cut down before, and you look at it and you have these rings, right? Each ring represents a year, et cetera. Okay, so I'm just using that as an analogy to say why that the way that trees grow from the inside. Trees grow from the inside. The newest part of a tree is on the inside of the tree. So those inner rings that it's pushing out. What's on the outside is the oldest ring, right? What's on the inside is the newest ring. And that's how we grow as individuals, and that's how we grow as a community. We have to grow from the inside. We have to grow from the inside of ourselves as an individual, and we have to grow from the inside of ourselves as communities. So the work of Ummah building, the tree is a symbol of society,
the tree is a symbol of society. So in order for a society to grow, everything I just talked about is what has to happen, right? You have to grow from yourself. So you're just walking around as an unmarried individual. It's really, you need to make a greater contribution to the building of Ummah, the growth of the tree that is our society, our Ummah. You do that because you haven't moved off circle one. If you have not become family, you haven't even moved off circle one, right? And if we are families, but then our family is isolated, disconnected, not cooperating in the interest of the destiny, then that's still not growth. So the family has to learn how to move from just being our family, but connect with other families. And the same way with communities, and the same way with nations. So you see how far we have to go to move this idea, this way of thinking, this way of being, to move it off of our individual awareness of it and move it onto a global scale. To move it onto a global scale, then each collectivity at the next level has to cooperate with the master plan, right? We have to have communities who are aiming at next level nations. We have to have nations that are aiming at next level the world, right? In the interest and in accordance with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why, of course, we know we're not going to see it during our lifetime. But alhamdulillah, some progress has been made. Just the very fact, an international charter of human rights, even though all nations haven't signed on to it, there's been some great human advancement in terms of the scheme of God. And I think that, and this is what Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah alayhi, was doing for us. Imam Muhammad was getting us to see the world from the perspective of how is it in alignment with and what aspects of it are out of alignment with the will of Allah. But the will of Allah is transcendent right now, whether we can see it or not. Nothing is happening except by the will of Allah, and Allah's will is not going to be frustrated. And so it is happening, but it's for us to learn how to see that. Sometimes we can be given a focus where we're looking at one narrow slice of group of individuals, et cetera, but we give them so much attention that they seem like that they're the whole world. So, mashallah, we got to change that. So Ummah is built individually and collectively. So I have to do what I have to do as an individual. I have to move from smaller circles of oneness to broader circles of smaller circles of identity to broader circles of oneness. That's the mission. That's what I have to do. Whatever level I'm on, I have to level up. What's coming? What's next? However I identify, what's next? Right? All right. Now, I got to go ahead and give you this because I want you to understand that the pattern is there. So make a note of this and try to figure it out. Well, not try to figure it out, but overlay it with the circles that I just talked about. Self, family, community, nation, world, right? How do I level up from self to family? How do I level up from family to community? How do I level up from community to nation? How do I level up from nation to world? All right, there are four letters. Might be five, but I think it's four. K-R-E-E. K-R-E-E. K is knowledge, right? Knowledge. So, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, one of the, knowledge is knowledge, right? And this is the first place that I experienced it. Just understand that every knowledge has a destiny. That's not what Elijah Muhammad said. Every knowledge has a destiny. This is critical. If you want to go somewhere, then you need to get that knowledge. When you get the knowledge of where you want to go, then the knowledge is what's going to take you there. Take your knowledge, just like in the Isra wa Mi'raj, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he rode a mystical beast called Burak, which relates to lightning. It has to do with thought and the rest of that. So in any case, but the point is, it's a certain kind of knowledge, let's put it that way. So in terms of knowledge, every knowledge has a destiny, right? The quote from the message of the black man was that knowledge is a force or an energy that makes its bearer meet and overcome obstacles, barriers, and resistance. Knowledge is a force or an energy that makes its bearer meet and overcome obstacles, barriers, and resistance. Okay, so if you're trying to level up, if you're trying to go somewhere, if you have an aim or a goal that you're trying to achieve, you need the knowledge. Because the knowledge is what carries you there. The knowledge is the transportation, right? So in order to move from level 1 to level 2 to level 3, 4, and 5, you have to get the knowledge for the next level. You have to get that next level knowledge. When you get the next level knowledge, then the force of that knowledge is going to carry you, transport you up to the next level. So look, if you're an individual not married and you want to have a good marriage, good family, et cetera, then you should study. You should study about knowledge, the significance of it, the nature of it, et cetera, both contemporarily, what's the state of it right now, et cetera. That's what you got to do. Let's move on. So that's knowledge. So you got to get knowledge. Next is R. R is responsibility. Responsibility. 5337 in the Quran talks about Abraham, and of Abraham, he fulfilled all his obligations. And then Surah Al-Ma'idah, first verse, where it says, Ya Haladina Aminu Afu Bil-Uqud, O you who believe, fulfill all obligations. You have to, responsibility. You've heard this language. Responsibility is the key. I'm talking about moving to the ultimate destiny that it starts with yourself, so you have to get knowledge of yourself, right? Knowledge of yourself, and then move on, knowledge of family. Responsibility, you have to be responsible for yourself and then move on to family responsibility, all right? So you have to have knowledge, you have to have responsibility. Oh, yes, and it is three. It's five altogether, E-E-E, right? Excuse me. Then you have to move from enmity, E-N-M-I-T-Y, enmity to empathy to embrace, right? Enmity to empathy to embrace. So this is how it is, right? Imagine this. You have to, all these things you have to do in each circle, right? You have to have knowledge, you have to have responsibility, and you have to move from enmity to empathy to embrace in each circle. So with regard to myself, I have to get the knowledge of myself, true knowledge of myself, true knowledge, not Yaqub Smith, not, you know, true knowledge of myself as created by Allah. You have to get knowledge, and I have to become responsible for myself. I have to become self-responsible, right? To become, I get the knowledge of myself, become responsible for myself, and then empathy to embrace. Enmity means hatred. What does that mean for us? Well, what does it mean for us? Is that one of the worst things that happened to us is that we were conditioned to hate ourselves. You don't think we still hate ourselves as a body? Yes, that self-hatred is there, right? So, but the point is you have to move off of that. You have to move from enmity to empathy. Empathy is to have an understanding, have a positive shared sensitivity towards each other, empathy, right? Empathy is a big, listen, emotional intelligence is a critical thing to understand. Emotional intelligence. And that emotional intelligence is what really causes the growth of that. The soul really grows on the basis of emotional intelligence. You should look that up. But the biggest critical competency for emotional intelligence is empathy. Empathy. Study it. Learn it. Understand it. Understand it. Know, find out even if you have empathy for yourself. First, you have to find out if you have self-hatred. Right? See if you don't like you. Right? Self-hatred. So enmity, you got to move away from that with regard to yourself. Empathy, you have to have empathy for yourself. Yeah, you got to learn how to forgive yourself. It's like some things like, man, I did this. Look where I'm at now. Okay, sooner or later, you have to forgive yourself or you ain't going nowhere. You're going to have to. You have to forgive yourself. If Allah can forgive everything, no, you're not God. But the point is, Allah is willing, and if we are sincere, to forgive our sins, even if they are as broad or as big or as many as the foams of the sea. This is what Allah said. Okay. So it's like, okay, well, how come you're not forgiving yourself? Let's move on. So empathy, so you move away from self-hatred, learn how to feel empathy for yourself, and then embrace. Embrace yourself. You don't have to be a narcissist. You don't have to be a psychopath. You don't have to be whatever, a megalomaniac, what have you. No, just love yourself as Allah has created you. Really, if you come to know what Allah has done in you, in just creating you as a human being and giving you a chance to exist in three-dimensional space and time with all of the possibilities inside of you and outside of you, it's like this is Candyland, Disneyland. I'm sorry, I'm just using those analogies. It's like, come on. What do you want to do? It's right here. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. That's what Allah has made possible just by giving us our existence, right? So enmity to empathy. So you embrace yourself. This is all I'm saying. If you understand yourself the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you, it's powerful. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who has known himself has known his Lord. He who has known himself has known his Lord. You got to keep working with that. So everything I just said, this movement from self to world, and the way that it's done is through knowledge, responsibility, and moving from enmity to empathy to embrace. You got to do that on each level. Everything I just said about self, you got to do that for family. Knowledge, responsibility, enmity, empathy, embrace. For community, knowledge, responsibility, enmity, empathy to embrace. Nation, knowledge, responsibility, enmity, empathy, embrace. The world, knowledge, responsibility, enmity, empathy, and embrace. Now, when we do that, now imagine you're thinking about yourself as an individual doing that, but of course all those other things call for a collectivity operating in that way. So imagine you have a group of people who understand that, act on that, live on that, and then that's how it's going to get done. And it's a lifetime mission. First is to just know it and then understand, just do your part. You just do your part until you die. That's it. We talk about the cathedral mind. The cathedral mind is a mindset where many of those great cathedrals in Europe particularly, they were built by, brick masons and the like, and generations of brick masons. Right? That is, the father who may be the original father, the first one who laid the first brick, he knew he was not going to live to see that finished. But he swore his son to continue the work. And then their sons swear their sons to continue the work. And then their sons swear their sons to continue the work. So 3, 4, 5 generations down the line, finally it's finished, right? But the father that laid the first brick never saw it complete, literally, but each generation added to it, and that's what we have to have. We have to have a cathedral mind. Maybe you want to change it to a masjid mind, or whatever you want to say. But, of course, we don't want to get overwhelmed with the idea that was a mistake. I'm about done. That was a mistake in the history of past of Muslims, those who started competing in building messages to compete with the Catholic cathedrals. It's like, man, you ain't on the right mission. You see, you're not on the right mission. It's not about building a building. It's about building up the individual, yes, on the inside, building up the community on the inside, building up the ethos, building up the environment, building up the soul, cultivating the soul, etc. But see, it got externalized into all these physical things. But may Allah guide us and protect us and lead us back to the right path. That's going to be it for me. Dante, thank you so much for your question. And alhamdulillah, and I pray it's been of some benefit. Alhamdulillah. Amin Ra, 54. Move from circles or rings from one to the other using the tree as comparison with the rings. Thank you, Imam Shire, for making it plain. Alhamdulillah, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Dante, thank you for providing me with the answer to my question. I still know there is more for me to understand, but this definitely was helpful. 5 circles, 5 senses. Allahu Akbar. So the minds at work. All right. Amen. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Everybody have a wonderful day. Those of you who are in the ACU, we will have our Sunday session, our private session tomorrow, 10:30, inshallah. Topically, we'll know when we get there, both you and I. God bless you, everybody. Have a wonderful day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.